for this morning is United States against Sechrist, 12-13-18, and we'll hear from Mr. Stewen.
Morning, thank you. May it please the court, Mark Stewen, appointed counsel for Mr. Sechrist in the criminal appeal arising from his guilty plea and sentencing on one count of aggravated assault, a violation of Section 113A6. Mr. Sechrist pled guilty in early November of 2011 by way of a plea agreement. In December, he sought by way of a pro se motion to withdraw that guilty plea and request new counsel, which was denied by the district court in January. Mr. Sechrist was then sentenced in early February of 2012. His sentence was for 66 months of incarceration, followed by 3 years of supervised release, a $500 fine, and a special assessment of $100. With the court's indulgence, I would like to address the sentencing issue first, because I respectfully submit that's the more significant of the two issues in terms of issues to be addressed by this court. The district court determined that the base offense level for Mr. Sechrist was 14, that in light of the result of serious bodily injury, there was a five-level increase, and that he would receive a three-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility, an adjusted offense level of 16 in his criminal history category of 3, which resulted in a range of 27 to 33 months. That being the case, however, the district court imposed a sentence of 66 months. It is our position, we respectfully submit, that the reasons that the district court gave for this sentence may have been a justification for some variance above that range of 27 to 33 months, but it falls far short, in fact, does not in any way explain why a sentence of 66 months was reasonable and should be affirmed by this court.
But I don't know what you're expecting of the district court judges. This district court judge spends several pages worth of transcript discussing, I'm kind of looking at the beginning, it's page 23, he goes on discussing why he thinks the 27 to 33 months doesn't accomplish the purpose of sentencing. He reviews what the defendant did, and he picks a number, but he says 33 is insufficient. He's considered the time in custody. Now, I don't know how he can be much more precise than that. He's inside the statutory limits. You're not making any argument about that, right?
That's correct. It is within the statutory maximum of the
right.
10 years, as I recall.
It's right. So it's actually still fairly far below a 10-year statutory maximum. And you know, we can't have sentencing rules that place an impossible burden on the district court judges. I don't know how they, you know, stick their finger up in the air and say it feels like 66 months. But on the other hand, he discusses a number of aggravating factors. And without going back to the guidelines and stepping up by guideline analogies, what else do you do?
Well, I respectfully submit, Your Honor, that in fact there were several vehicles or avenues by which the district court could have better articulated its rationale so that this court would be in a better position to evaluate the reasonableness of 66 months. With respect to the district court, it appears, just as Your Honor suggested, perhaps this was just a number pulled out of the air. In fact, in reality, what the district court did was impose a sentence of 6 years, at one point saying
5.5, right?
Well, 6 years, but because you've been in tribal court custody for roughly 6 months, gave a 66-month sentence. So essentially, Mr. Sechrist would be in custody for 72 months, 6 years, if my math is correct.
But he's going through, you know, the abuse, the beating up, the guy didn't get the message. He goes through, he said, I came in thinking I was going to impose an even higher sentence. He sees lack of remorse. He's trying to come up with a sentence that's long enough to make a dent in this guy.
Your Honor, we acknowledge that the reasons articulated by the district court may be adequate to support a variance above 33 months. The problem, the substantive unreasonableness of this, is the jump from 33 to 66. Now, guidelines, as we all know, are advisory. And what used to be the process under 4A1.3, courts are no longer tied to. But they can look at it. And the district court could have said, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that there were several different vehicles by which they could have explained how it got to that 66 months.
But can you be more specific? I mean, I'm still struggling with what words you think or what type of analysis a district court is supposed to engage in to explain something like 66 months here, sort of double what the 33 would have been.
Well, one avenue, for example, could well have been finding that his criminal history underrepresented, his criminal history score underrepresented his criminal history. The court could have looked and said, in fact, if we had counted points for the tribal convictions that didn't add to your score, you would have been, if I believe my recollection is correct, would have been in Category 4. And the court could have said, I'm going to treat you as though you're in Category 4.
Post-Booker sentencing discretion has no such formalist requirements. The judge isn't required to structure his sentencing remarks around either the prior departure factors or anything else in the guidelines. Can ignore all of that completely and simply engage in a holistic review of the facts of the case and the facts of the defendant's background and issue a sentence. That's all he has to do. And it was very clear here that the district court was extremely concerned that he had in front of him a repeat domestic violence offender who had beaten up a girlfriend, a prior girlfriend, three times severely and had not been held to account for it, and had beaten up his present girlfriend twice, most recently extremely severely, put her in the hospital with a broken nose and many other injuries, and terrorized her to recant, which she refused to do. And that's the reason underlying his effort to withdraw his plea. We don't need anything more than that.
Your Honor, I don't wish to be understood to suggest that this is a requirement, that the court, district courts engage in a formalistic or number-crunching process. I respectfully submit, however, that for appellate review, and so that defendants understand and can assess, do I have an issue of merit to appeal, it would be a far better process if this court were to at least encourage district courts to say, you can look at 4A1.3 by analogy and say, you're not in Category 3. You're more like somebody in Category 6. Or, I have problems with awarding you the three levels off for acceptance of responsibility because of your effort to withdraw your guilty plea. So, instead of a 16 Category 3, I view you as comparable to...
Why does that result in a more meaningful sentencing hearing?
Because right now we're
left... Or a more meaningful sentence.
Because...
It may give you something to glom onto with a defense lawyer, but it doesn't improve the process from a standpoint of criminal justice. This is a very fair sentence.
I submit that it would, Your Honor, because now this court is left with looking at a record and saying, yes, he recited the 3553 factors, but is that enough to explain how he jumped from 33 months to 66 months?
In the state courts, there are no detailed guidelines, and cases of this sort are handled on a regular basis in just the way I suggested, based on a holistic view of the facts of the case and the defendant's prior history. And no one would suggest that there's something, you know, inherently unfair as a criminal justice matter about that. And our case law suggests post-Booker that while the judges can adopt the formalist approach of the old mandatory guidelines, they don't have to. So is there some sort of normative reason you're suggesting that we ought to lay down that rule?
Again, Your Honor, I do not wish to be understood to lay down, asking this court to lay down that rule. In other cases, this court has said, in my words, not this court's words, it's okay by analogy to look at 4A1.3. And this is an example where it would have been okay, and it would have been helpful. So instead of what looks like a number just picked out of the air, frankly, as I mentioned, in reality, a 6-year sentence, So it's actually more than 100% increase above the 33. We could all look and say, all right, he treated it as though this. And the fundamental issue, if I may, although I'm nearing the close of my time, is if one were to engage in that process, just by way of example, if the court will indulge me, with a base offense level of 14, if the court has said, instead of 5 levels for serious bodily injury, this guideline permits a 6-level increase for more than serious bodily injury. And if I don't give you a reduction for acceptance of responsibility, that's a 20. And the offense, the range for a 20 Category 3 is 41 to 51 months. And I think that kind of process would put meat on the bones of looking at the reasonableness of a 66-month sentence.
All right.
I ask
thank
to reserve
you,
some time for rebuttal with the court's indulgence.
We'll see how that goes. But thank you, Mr. Stewart. Mr. Roach.
Good morning. My name is William Roach. I'm the prosecutor in this matter before the district court and obviously the government representative here this morning. I really don't have anything else argument to add than what is already set forth in my brief, unless the court has questions for me on either of the two issues. Again, I think the government has set forth its position pretty clearly on this.
There was a little confusion in the district court's handling of the withdrawal motion and the issue of the
sure.
request for new counsel. I mean, he had counsel and had asked his attorney to file a motion to withdraw his plea. The attorney did, but then he wanted it withdrawn. Then he changed his mind again and wrote pro se to the judge saying, I want a new attorney. I want to withdraw my plea. And the judge kind of sorted all that out from the bench in the subsequent hearing by addressing the defendant directly, and his attorney didn't say anything.
Correct.
So, I mean, he's technically still represented by that attorney, but representing himself on this motion
puts the defense attorney into a tough position if his viewpoint is contrary to counsel's, and if it puts the court in a tough position. Do we automatically
to clarify, you know, are you represented at this moment or are you not represented? Are you exercising your Faretta rights? And as Judge Sykes said, that's not clarified here during that one critical section.
I think it's fair for the district court judge, though, to make a preliminary inquiry. What is this fair and just reason instead of a carte blanche, okay, you say that you were forced into a plea, stop the train, let's get a new attorney, let's have hearings, let's go back to square one. And there's an abuse of discretion standard. The court has some discretion in how to handle those, and I think Judge Griesbach handled it appropriately by making some preliminary inquiries of the defendant. What is the reason for the fair and just call on my part to withdraw the plea?
I'm just saying, I mean, he could have said a couple of things. He could have said, you know, Mr. Sechrist, you've had plenty of lawyers, or he could have said, okay, you're on your own, but this person will be standby counsel, or he could have just clarified the rules of the road so that we knew who was speaking for Mr. Sechrist at all times. I mean, we get the same thing. People file things even though they're already represented, and we have to sort out whether we'll accept those pro se filings or not, and sometimes they can be very damaging.
I think the issue is so simple, though, for Mr. Sechrist to respond to. The judge took Mr. Sechrist at his word that's what the attorney said, and I think even if you were to do that, and let me back up and say I don't think the judge truly deemed Mr. Sechrist a credible person because of some other things that had happened in the case. But let's assume that Mr. Sechrist is accurate when he said, well, my attorney said I should plead guilty, or words to that effect. This isn't a case where the attorney or where Mr. Sechrist is saying he said I had to plead guilty. There was no choice here. I can't do anything other than plead guilty. Rather, Mr. Sechrist is saying, my attorney's saying that I should plead guilty. That's probably prudent advice in this case, given the facts that we have here. And
I was wondering if we're going to see a 2255 down the road, since there are clearly things not in the record about this that we can't possibly say anything about right now.
So I think on the abuse of discretion standard, I think, again, Judge Griesbach wins. I think the case is clear here that, as he found, the plea trumps the unsupported statements, really, of Mr. Sechrist, just the bald statement, boy, you know, my attorney said I should plead guilty. I don't think that's enough.
Well, and of course, we don't really have a right to counsel claim on appeal. So despite the ambiguity in the record, mm-hmm. That issue hasn't been argued. So whatever ambiguity is there is what it is. I don't know that it's actionable at this stage.
I understand.
Yeah.
Any other
okay.
questions?
Apparently there is nothing further, so thank you very much. I will give you one more minute, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you. In terms of the motion to withdraw, the court has hit upon several items that I didn't feel could properly be addressed in an appeal at this stage before this court. But, for example, I don't recall and was taking a quick look whether even Mr. Sechrist was put under oath before answering the court's questions. I'm not suggesting that that would have been a requirement, but there are several steps, as the court has suggested, that may have, perhaps should have been taken, that would have made for a clear record and may well have impacted the decision. Bottom line for the defendant is that he feels, and we submit, that he did articulate a fair and just reason to withdraw his plea of guilty. It was error for the district court to deny it in the manner that it denied it. If the court affirms the denial of the motion to withdraw, we respectfully request that the court vacate Mr. Sechrist's sentence and remand him for resentencing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And you took this case by appointment, and the court very much appreciates your efforts on his behalf and helping us.
Thank you.